We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Yeah, it's good to be here, and it's good to see you all this morning. So I'd like to take this time to say it's good to see you, and I'd like to welcome those that are here for the first time. So if you're here for the first time, you're welcome. And I would like to welcome those that are online this morning. So I'd like to take this time to thank and appreciate the eldership of the church for giving me this opportunity to stand before you this morning. So this morning, we're continuing our title, Spiritual Growth. And it is a series that has been designed to help us get a biblical concept of spiritual growth. Growing in our walk with God. And this morning, I want to speak on the topic, the importance of Christian fellowship. So the importance of Christian fellowship. Last Sunday, Elder Mbodi started us off. And he reminded us of the importance of God's gift. And today, we're going to be focusing on how to grow in our spiritual maturity. In the area of our horizontal relationship with people. How many of you believe that spiritual maturity depends on developing both your vertical relationship with God and your horizontal relationship with people? So today, we're going to be addressing the great question, how can fellowship help me grow in my spiritual journey? So how can fellowship help me grow in my spiritual journey? So the Bible text for today is coming from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. I shall read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless his reading. Amen. So these verses follow the account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we see non-believers coming to faith after hearing Peter's message. So based on the sequence of the event, these newly converted believers immediately started to gather. We're told that they gathered together. They gathered with fellow believers in each other's homes to learn the word of God. There was teaching there to pray with and pray for one another. And we're taught that the Lord added to their numbers daily. So how do we communicate with other believers? We communicate with other believers through fellowship, through encouraging and building one another up. And you may ask, what is fellowship in the biblical context? Fellowship has the idea of association, of communion, of participation, and it means to share something in oneness. It means to share something in common. So the early church set this example we should follow of being committed to the fellowship of other believers. In our text, we see how the early church were devoted to fellowship. And I want to share this morning three ways how fellowship occurs in the church. So three ways how fellowship occurs in the church. And the first one is, fellowship occurs through practicing service. So the scripture is from verse 42, which reads that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. To breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So in our text, we see believers coming together, attending the temple ministry. We see service teaching. We see breaking of bread and prayer. And we see the newly converted believers who had just trusted in Jesus Christ having the desire, that this desire to know him more and know him better. They relied on the apostles' teaching. They relied on the apostles' communication, you know, to communicate to them about Jesus, who Jesus was, you know, and they never wanted to forget what Jesus did on the cross, the crucifixion. So how much more important is it for us today to never forget? So whenever God's work is done, God's people gather for prayer and worship. And true biblical fellowship happens when we serve God and save one another as children of God. And you know what, church? I really believe that you get to know people and form better relationships when you serve together and when you're active in ministry service. So ministry is about giving ourselves, our time, our resources, our talents, all that we have to bless and help others. It's not for ourselves, but to bless others. And as children of God, we do not come to church as consumers. We don't come to church as consumers, but we strive to become the producers. You see, most people come to church with this question in mind. What am I getting out of church? What am I getting out of church? But the question we should really be asking ourselves as children of God is, what is my part or role in a church? What is my part or role in the church? And as we see in our text this morning, we see that believers did not just come to be observers, but they also came to be participants. They were part of the church. They were there to help others. And Apostle Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, stating that when you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. So if we all come to church with this attitude of being a contributor, it will totally transform our services of worship. It will totally change us as a people. And as we teach, as we learn, as we serve, we should be of the same mind. So my question to you this morning is, when we gather together as children of God, is our mind on the same goal? Or are we focusing on other things? Have we got other missions in the house of the Lord? So where is our focus? Because we're told that the believers were all together and that they had everything in common. Everything. And we were, and when they came together as believers, like us this morning, as we gathered together this morning and fellowship through ministry and service, our minds should be set on glorifying God. Our minds should be set on worshiping God, not on anything else. And our hearts should be devoted to his word. And our focus should be on exalting God and experiencing his presence and grace together. Just like this morning when we're worshiping, that was a powerful worship, wasn't it? And we praise God for that. So we see the early church working together to accomplish God's will. And this was continually in the church. We see them practice of leadership. We see giving to the needy. We see exercising of different spiritual gifts. We see support of missionaries, corporate prayer, worship, and in other ways. So are we accomplishing God's will today? Are we accomplishing God's will today as believers when we come to church? Our second point is fellowship happens when believers are together. And the text is from verse 44. Which says all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So here we see another side of the biblical fellowship. We see that the biblical fellowship, when God's people came together, all sorts of things happen, including unselfish love. We see honest sharing. We see practical serving. We see sacrificial living and sympathetic comforting and all the one another. So just as logs burn brightly when placed together, so Christians need each other for warmth and encouragement. And we know that a log that is separated from others will soon grow cold. A log that is separated from others will soon grow cold. So isolation will lead to stunted spiritual growth and a lack of joy in your life. And when we're saved, we become part of a great family, the family of God. And you see, our God is our Father. And all those who know Him are our brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what color they may be. It doesn't matter what language they speak. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. So we cannot say we love God and yet do not love His children. You cannot say you love God and yet you do not love your neighbor. You do not say you love God and yet you can't even sit next to somebody. So how can we as believers encourage, love, and care unless we are together? In our text, we see believers forming a community. We're taught that we're together, and in Greek, it means in the same place. I'm not saying you should all be in the same place, in the same house, but but there's a very simple principle here that Christians need each other. They need to be together. And the Apostle Paul encourages us in Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. And he says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Today we've got many ways of being together, but for the believers in Acts, this was physically together in fellowship. And I think there's an important point to make here, because too many people call themselves Christians but make no place in their lives for church. They'll say they are saved but make no effort to be with other Christians. Some would think watching TV, a TV preacher, is the same thing as attending fellowship and worship. But it's not the same church. Don't get me wrong, I know there's corona. I know some people can't be physically here. But God has called us to be together. I'm not saying that watching a sermon is wrong online or on TV is wrong. But let us not replace it with meeting one another. Let us not replace it with sharing love and care with one another. Fellowship happens through loving and caring for one another. And this means building one another up. In Romans 14, verse 19, the Word of God says, so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. And again, in Romans 12, verse 10, the Word of God says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So it means honoring one another above yourselves and being devoted to one another this morning. So are you devoted to one another? Are we devoted to one another as a church this morning? Are we devoted to one another? So our next point is fellowship happens through making disciples. Fellowship happens through making disciples. In verse 42, the Word of God says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So for us here in SCC, fellowship happens through making disciples. You may ask yourself, what is discipleship? Discipleship is a spiritual formation. It's a spiritual process to help us grow and to know Christ. It's to help us follow Jesus Christ and become like Him in an intentionally relational environment. We all need to be surrounded by others who encourage and support us, who encourage and lead us on who Christ is, just like how we see in our text here with the early church. So we see this formation happening, and we offer discipleship to anyone who's ready to know Christ, anyone who's ready to be transformed and live by Christ. And when we offer discipleship with someone walking with you in that journey of faith, it's a process where you discover your new life in Christ. It's a process where you develop the habits of genuine Christianity. It's a process where you discover your unique shape as an individual and discover your mission in Christ. We are told of the believers devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. As a body of Christ, we follow the same approach as we make discipleship, as we make disciples through relationships. When we meet together for our discipleship meetings, we devote ourselves to the teaching of the word, and we share a meal, and we encourage and build one another up. In discipleship, we've seen individuals being exposed to the love of God. Great teachings, great relationships, and solid accountabilities over time. We've witnessed many grow in their walk with God. They may grow at different rates and in different measures, but they're in the journey of becoming like Christ. They're in the journey of being a disciple. Even as I'm coming to an end, I like to end with verse 46 and 47, which says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In our text, we see believers continuing to meet together. We see that Christian experience of fellowship for the early believers was daily. It was joyfully and simple. They worshiped God and learned His word together and shared their lives with one another. And we see the result of a church that fellowship. And the question we were asked this morning as we end is, what happened when the early church believers practiced fellowship? We're told that the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. They did not grow because of their own wisdom or skills. They grew because the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It was God's driven growth. And this does not mean that the church was inactive. No. They were very active in fellowship. And because of that, God drew men and women of God into the family of faith. He would do the same with us. If we too seek to become the kind of a family, united in the gospel, bold in witness, sincere in our love, and faithful in our life together, God will grant the increase. It is by grace and grace alone that Christians have been restored and adopted into God's family as children and heirs with Christ. It is the great and glorious truth for which God is praised. And that's why we praise Him this morning. He is to be praised for His grace and mercy that He has granted us. And the apostolic church in Acts 2 lived out this great truth. The great truth in ministries and the lives of its people. The continuum of meeting together was driven by their desire to see the Lord and Savior being praised by all. As a church today, we must hold the greatness of God and His Son. Only by seeking the glory of God in truth can the church of today become bold witnesses of Christ. The church will become bold witnesses of Christ and His gospel. This account in Acts needs not to be merely history. It remains a living possibility for the church and the only way forward. So this morning you might be in a place where you feel isolated and lonely, and you're saying, Lord, I want to grow my fellowship with others today. I would like to know You more, Lord, today. You may be in a place where you're saying, Lord, help me give myself, my time, my talents, my resources to bless and help others through practicing of service. And yet again, you may be in that place where you're saying, I want to grow in my fellowship through discipleship. I want to discover my new life in Christ. I want to discover my unique shape as an individual. I'd like to pray with you this morning. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, even as we come before Your throne, O Abba Father, we just want to thank You, Almighty God, for who You are. We bless Your name, O Holy Spirit, Almighty God, and we thank You, Almighty God, for Lord, You are seated on the throne. And this morning we bless Your name and we praise Your name, Abba Father. Lord, we come before You and we pray, Almighty God, for those who may be in that place of isolation. For those, Almighty God, who are not growing, where there's stunted growth within their lives, O Abba Father. Those, Almighty God, who may be feeling lonely and they're saying, Lord, I want to grow in my fellowship with others. Lord, we pray and say, Lord, this morning may You have Your way, Abba Father. We say, Lord, this morning, Almighty God, may You break through in their lives, Almighty God. That this morning, Almighty God, may they be blazed together with other logs, Almighty God, so they can burn brightly, O Abba Father. Lord, I pray, Almighty God, for those people who are saying, Lord, help me give myself and my time, my talents, my resources, Almighty God. Whatever it may be, Abba Father, this morning, I surrender them into Your hands, O Abba Father. For Lord, we know that You've gifted us with different talents. You've gifted us with different resources, Almighty God. You've given us the time that we need, O Abba Father, to serve others. And this morning we come before Your throne and say, Lord, may they give You, Almighty God, that room, Almighty God, for You to work within their lives. Oh Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those who want to grow in fellowship through discipleship. Those want to discover their new life in You. Those want to discover their unique shape in You. Lord, I pray and I surrender them into Your hands this morning. And I pray that, Lord, they may take that courage as they take that step forward to say, yes, I want to do discipleship. Almighty God, may You put that desire, the hunger and thirst, Almighty God. And I pray for those, Lord, who might have been in that process where they've stopped their discipleship. Those, Almighty God, who are behind, Almighty God, may You restore them, O Abba Father. Lord, we thank You, Holy Spirit. We bless Your name and we glorify Your name this morning. And we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.